So just briefly, you know, as we're preparing, we felt led to ask Juanita to share something that the Lord has deposited in her for our church community. So the Lord has definitely given her something. So if you could just walk up Juanita again.
You had the energetic pastor, Sonny, who put you in the river and taught you how to swim. Then she taught, next session she taught you how to make a covenant one with another. And in the session today, she taught you how to make a choice for your own good. So now you get your energetic covenant intercessor. And I want to talk to you briefly about waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord is a lost thing for Christians of today. Is it because we don't have time? Some people think it's a waste of time. Trust me, it is not a waste of time. You're sitting down, you don't have pen and paper, but you know most of the scriptures that I'm going to give you. The teaching of this comes from the prayer secrets of the tabernacle. Maybe some of you have read it. But waiting on the Lord is a lifestyle to Jesus. Romans 12:1 tells us, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is his reasonable service. Then we go to Hebrews 12:14 that says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Meaning, you obey. If you hear his voice, he tells you something to do. Obey. Obedience is a key to enter into the presence and waiting upon God. So there's steps that we have to take to get us into that place, to go into the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies. It takes practice. It's not easy. Some people will do it, and some people will say, you know, I really don't believe in this. That's the reason I'm giving you the scriptures. So you can come to that place where you can hear God by waiting on him in holiness and in purity and sanctification. Psalms 51:17, the sacrifice of God is a broken spirit. So you have to get to that place where your spirit is broken and you can let him take over. How do we do that? When we repent of our sins. Every one of them. The ones we know, the ones we don't know. So that's a time and a season for just cleaning out your vessel. Cleaning out your vessel. Then Psalms 139:23, it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. That's very important because you're giving the Lord permission to search you and know your heart. It says, try me, know my thoughts. Everything must be put on the altar and burned. That's all of our sins, the things that we do and the things that we don't do. Your flesh, your desire, your will, your plans, your purpose, your life. We lay everything down at the foot of the cross. Now we're ready to enter into the first court. Psalms 104. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So we start out with praise. We start out with blessing Him. We thank God for purification and sanctification. John 1:9, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. We have a just God. We all sin and come short. But if we confess them, we purify, and we can come before Him. Exodus 30:19. This is where Aaron and his son washed their hands and their feet for purification. So we clean. We clean our hands so we can lift up holy hands. We clean our feet so we can stand on holy ground. These are the things in the beginning of you to prepare yourself to enter into that holy place. It takes practice. It takes dedication. But as we continue this special journey toward an encounter with God, we pass the outer courts and come into the holy place. That's the place we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to that holy place, sanctified, purified, clean hands, clean heart, clean feet. 1 Peter 1:15, but He which calls you holy, He calls you holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Watch your tongue. It gets you in the biggest trouble of all, especially with gossip. God hates gossip. The golden candlesticks. This is the place now where we're getting into the court. The golden candlesticks was beaten down and was made from one piece of solid gold. And there's a reason for it being made of solid gold, because it was pure gold, which represents the Holy Spirit. The shaft of the candlestick is very important. In Hebrew, it means thigh, which speaks of giving birth. Out of the thighs of Jacob came forth 12 sons. The 12 sons represents the giftings of the Holy Spirit. This speaks of the special gifts that's within us when we pray in the Spirit. Everyone should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's an awesome weapon against the divine. So as we come and into this place, Judges 1:20. But you, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto man, but unto God. Again, this is a weapon that we all need. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, come up, let's see what God wants to do. We got Pastor Sunny here. That's one of her giftings. Also happens to be one of mine. So, in that respect, but you have to come with the desire to receive it. So again, do one thing. Build yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Praying in the Spirit is the the most powerful medium that we can have uninterrupted conversation with God. These are the things that prepare us and get us into that place where we can hear the Lord's voice, where He will give us instruction, tell us what to do or what not to do. The meditation of God's Word is a very important, but it's very important to your prayer life. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but shall meditate there day and night. Not just at breakfast and lunch when we pray over our food. It's a time to enter in. It's a time to get into that place that you can begin to hear the Holy Spirit. So if you observe and do accordingly to all that is written therein, you shall prosper and have good success. You heard that today also from Pastor Sonny. Without the Spirit, the Word is lifeless. It has no meaning. You read it, a few of you will memorize it, but you need to read it out loud. We have ears to hear what the Father is saying. So you need to get into that place. But the Word, the Holy Spirit's Word, has no life without the Word. The Spirit's man has no life without God. So these are the things that we come into so that we can go before the Lord. We can put out our petitions, but most of all, what we need to be doing is listening to Him. Intercession is the act of meeting with God by calling upon Him on the behalf of others. It's not praying for yourself. It's praying for your brother and your sister. It's praying for your covenant person, the person that you have made covenant with. James 5:16 tells us the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Then Romans 8:26, in the same way the Spirit has helped our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groaning, because there's no words that can express what he's praying for. Romans 8:27. And he who searches the heart knows what the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Not your will. You don't know what to pray for your brother or your sister, but if you listen, wait on God and listen to Him, you will know. The art of listening to God, the art of waiting on God, has really been a lost medium for Christians of today. Is it because we're too busy? We've got so many other things to do that we just don't give God the time that He deserves. Hebrews 12:29. Our God is a consuming fire. 1 Peter 1:16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. For the God that made you holy. We're the ones that walk away, not Him. He's always there for us, willing to do whatever. A healthy prayer life It is composed of three aspects: intercession, meditating on the Word, and waiting on God. If you don't meditate, you don't read the Word, you might as well just go have a cup of coffee. So these are the things that get us to that place. We'll never be able to know what is good and perfect for us, the acceptable will of God in our life, if we do not wait on Him. If you don't wait, you can't hear. Everybody hears in a different way. So it's whatever, however you function, it's how you will hear, that you will hear His voice. The position that you get in, it be still. No music, no movement, no speaking. Turn off your mind and the pondering of your heart. In other words, totally clear all thoughts. The trials of the day, the things that's going on in your marriage or with your children, wipe them out. So you've got a blank mind to go before the Lord. Trust me. If you wait, if you get yourself in this position, you wait. God will, you will hear that small voice. But you can't do it in 5 minutes. You can't do it in 10 minutes. You have to spend the time. As housewives, when your husband is out of home, he's gone to work, the children are in school. It's a perfect time. It's a perfect time to find your place in your home or outside in the beautiful country that the Lord has given us. Walking, running, jogging, whatever place that you can get yourself into, that you're, let's say you're like a zombie and you're just open. You just open up, and you just listen, and you listen. And that voice will come. That voice will come. Everybody hears in a different way. I hear in my right ear. Always my right ear. I don't know why, but that's what He chose. I encourage each and every one of them. If you will do these things and allow God to lead you, your home life will be better. Your husband might even get straightened out. And your children will have a foundation like no others. So I ask you, give time. Give time to the Holy Spirit. Give time. Wait on God. Let Him guide you. Let Him take you into that place. Once you get there, once you experience waiting on Him in quietness, and you hear His voice, and you know in your, as we say, in your knower, that He's speaking to you. You will never be the same. Your family life will never be the same. But you've got to get to that place. Start off with 15 minutes. Nothing happened. Do another 15 minutes. Do another 15 minutes. Whatever it takes. I had a gentleman, actually, it's a gentleman that wrote this book. Told me one time, he said, if you'll spend 1 hour with God every day, your life will never be the same. And it's true. It's true. So I want to pray over you. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity. I pray that these ladies that are here, that they have heard my heart, and that they will give it a chance. That's all I'm asking. Give it a chance. And Father God, I ask you to reciprocate by speaking to them, Father God, with that small, sweet, still voice. And I ask you, Father God, to touch each and every one of them. And Father, those that need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I ask you at some given time, whenever they're ready, to have someone lead them into the baptism. I thank you, Father God. I thank you for the SP ladies, because we're coming to that time and that season where our world is in such a turmoil, Father God, that they're going to need everything that they can grab a hold of, Father God, to get through some of the seasons. So I ask you, Father God, to use those that want to be used as vessels for the sake of the King. And I thank you in advance. And I give you glory and I give you honor. And everybody said,